Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys Real Talk. My bad, y'all. A couple weeks, I fell off the map. I had a lot of shit going on. I'll just put it like that. But look, the thing is this. I'm about to cause a whole lot of mess tonight. I can't wait. We're going to hit the ground running, as we should. I got to make up for lost time. Got to make up for lost traction. So, what up, Lee? Where you at, bro?
Yo, what it do, what it do, what it do. I'm here. I'm here.
How you want to kick it off, bro? You want to kick it off? We got to go right into this event. I don't know what happened last couple weeks. What I missed? What was I going for? Anything you want to cover off the top, or you want to go right into this event?
Hey, let's just go ahead and jump into 292, man. All
right, cool. No doubt. So here's how we go. So basically, we just got to cut right to the chase on it, right? So my boy, Aljamain Sterling, right? Y'all know that the Tyron Woodley fan club was retired to then be morphed into the Aljamain Sterling fan club. So the Aljamain fan club became, but that was actually at the same time, to be fair. Both of those were happening at the same time. I was a fan of Aljamain Sterling back in probably like, I probably saw him in 2017, 2018. So that was around, you know, I mean, I was watching both of them at the same time. They were both, you know what I mean, getting to the top, on the way to the top, you know, concurrently, however that word is. So, yeah, I mean, Aljamain Sterling lost to Sean O'Malley in the main event, UFC 292, live from TD Garden, Boston, Massachusetts. I was not in the building for that. I couldn't afford to go. I didn't go. But I'll tell you this. In a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't go because I don't know, like, you know, we swept the parlay. I went 5-0 on the parlay. I had Aljo as my sixth leg, but I got this bad, bad feeling. I was texting Lee going into that main event during the walkout. I was like, yo, I'm getting a bad feeling, bro. I'm cashing out my parlays. And I was right. Bad feeling was right. You know what I mean? When I ever heard Sean O'Malley walking out to Lupe Fiasco, superstar, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, the energy is in the room. It's about to get dark. And I could feel it. It's looking grim. So, hey, I would have been happy to be wrong, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, the Sean O'Malley won. I'm kind of glad that I wasn't there because even though we swept the parlay, that would have had me. Man, I would have been walking out with my head down again, bro. That would have been tough. So I'm kind of glad that I wasn't there to see it live. I saw it from Buffalo Wild Wings, so that was okay. I'm disappointed, you know what I mean? I'm disappointed either way, whether I watch it on a TV or I'm, you know what I mean, seeing them through the cage. But, I haven't had a live moment where that has happened. The time I haven't been there to have that disappointment. So that'd be kind of tough, man, especially where, you know, I heard the Boston crowd wasn't really, you know, they weren't too nice to my boy. I don't really like that. I heard that, you know, he was getting a lot of boos and he was getting a lot of hate after that main event, which I think is whack, bro. I think that's totally whack. And it's, hey, I'm going to say this. If you feel like a lot of shitty people are from Boston, it's not all of us. You know, those people on TV, I think, give us a bad name because now, you know, you see people online saying, you know, I hope the UFC never goes back to Boston. Like, that was a really hateful crowd. Like, you know, they don't even deserve another UFC. And I'm like, damn, bro, like, I'm not covering for the bad actors out here. I'm not covering for these hateful blokes that were in the crowd, man. Shame on them. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's not all of us. Because, you know, there's many of us that would have loved to be there regardless of how it went, you know. And wouldn't have been disrespectful to any of the fighters. So, regardless of if I'm a fan of them or not, you know what I mean? So, it is what it is. Sean O'Malley is the new champion, bro. Second round, TKO. I'm going to ask you this. A lot of people are talking about the stoppage. What do you think about the stoppage? Was it a good stoppage, a bad stoppage? How do you view that?
I thought it was a bad stoppage, but at the same time, I don't think he was going to recover because of the damage he was taking. But, you know, sometimes I think you give a champion the benefit of the doubt. But the only reason I say it was a quick stoppage was because they didn't stop the Neil Magny fight. Neil Magny could barely walk, bro, and they still – well, I think that was – I put that more on his corner than I do the referee, but, you know, he got caught like I tweeted out, he did the one thing he couldn't afford to do. He had to remain patient in that fight, bro. It's like, okay, O'Malley is going to fight you at distance. He's not going to let you close the space because he's scared of the takedown. You have to remain patient. And as soon as he lost his patience and got knocked out. And it was kind of reminiscent to John Blachowicz when he got knocked out when me and you was watching his fight. It was like, bro, what was he thinking about? And he ended up doing something crazy, and he got caught. So, you know, man, it was, Sean O'Malley, man, you know, he's a new bantamweight champ. The Boston crowd, man, you know, Boston is Boston, bro. They were saying, fuck you, Aljo Chance. But, hey, it come with the territory sometimes. You know, a lot of people don't like Aljamain Sterling because of his relationship with the UFC. If you look at his relationship with the UFC, him and Dana White don't get along. Dana White talked bad about Aljo when he won the belt via the illegal knee. He felt Aljo shouldn't have got surgery, that he should have did this and that. And, you know, some fighters, man, they not going to always do things the company way. And that was one of the things that Dana White had a problem with Tyron Woodley. You know, Tyron Woodley, you know, wasn't fighting enough. But after most of Tyron Woodley's fights, he normally had to have some kind of surgery. I didn't hear him saying the same thing about Kamaru Usman, who basically after all his fights, he was out for a while. So, but the thing, it goes back to if you got a good relationship with the UFC, the UFC will prop you up. If you don't, every chance they get, they'll poke jabs at you, and the fans listen to stuff like that. So, you know, good win by O'Malley. But I had to ask, you know, what was your thoughts, bro?
Well, I'll say this, man. I think that, first of all, to say, especially in the past year that we just had, and I know what you're referencing because you're talking about before and Tyron Woodley and how much he and the whole thing, but realistically, and I'm going to get to this in a little bit because we're going to address this shit because I'm not going to let, you know, the history books try to tell it a different way than it really was. Because that's what a lot of fans like to do. They like to try to distort the way some of these guys look, even when they're extremely active. So if you look at the last year of Aljamain Sterling, this was his third title defense in 10 months.
Yep.
This was his third title defense in 10 months. And if we're going to act like that, and I'm not trying – that's not me making excuses or anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to point out that he has had an extremely active past year. Third title defense in 10 months. Who is working at that pace? Nobody. You know what I mean? So, besides Volkanovski, I mean, and I don't even think he had three. Did he have? I don't know what he had. Volkanovski is probably close. You know, he's in there. He's very active as well. But those are probably your two best champions. Like, that's probably the two best champions, most talented champions, and most active champions. But not everybody's like that. Not everybody's like that. I mean, I understand that, you know, guys get injured and see it. You know, I say I love Dana White, but at the same time, it bothers me when I feel like he takes things in a different way than it really is. It's like because guys broke their hand and they don't want to fight with a broken hand or you know what I mean, they had to have surgery on their knee or something, like he takes it like, oh, guys don't want to fight. And he's been saying that for years, you know what I mean? And a lot of the time, it's just what he's really saying is, they don't want to fight on my terms. That's what he's really saying. He's saying they don't want to meet
exactly.
My terms. They don't want to fight.
Exactly.
They don't want to fight when I want them to fight. They don't want to fight them who I want them to fight on short notice, probably, because many of the times he wants them to fight is on short notice. And this, and mind you, this was Aljamain. He just did a fight camp for Henry Cejudo, fought him in May, and then literally the same night we knew that he was going to fight Sean O'Malley in August, 3 months later. So he literally went right from that fight camp, did that fight, and then basically started another fight camp the next morning. So to act like that this was any different situation than that is just, I can't accept that because y'all know damn well what we just watched. And, you know, Aljamain Sterling fights enough to where you have a guy to criticize so often. You know what I mean? You get the performances, and that's why you have so much time to criticize the performances, because you actually get a guy that fights a lot. And you get a guy that fights the guys that are there. You know what I mean? Guys talk about, you know, one-armed T.J. Dillashaw, and I hate when they say that, because that's T.J.'s dumbass fault for fighting with one arm, bro.
I'm
so sick of having that topic come up. Like, that irritates me to no end. You know what I mean? I don't care that that Juice had T.J. fought with a broken, whatever the fuck he had. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Dislocated so shoulder.
And what did he do right after he lost the fight? Make excuses about why he lost the fight. You know what I mean? If he had won the fight, would we have heard about that shoulder? Guaranteed we wouldn't have heard about it. You know what I mean? So, TJ, happy retirement, man. You're a crybaby. You know what I mean? You lost a lot of your manhood when you started bitching after the fight and talked about your shoulder. You sound like Manny Pacquiao. You know what I mean? But before the fight, Manny Pacquiao swore he was going to beat Floyd Mayweather. But then once he lost the fight and he got dominated in the fight, he came out and said, Manny Pacquiao said that he had a torn rotator cuff. And don't think we forgot about that, because that's the same concept. The guy was, you know, more confident than anything before the fight. And then after, once he lost the fight, and now it was, I had a torn, my shoulder, I had a torn rotator cuff. That's what Manny Pacquiao said after he lost to Mayweather. So that's the same type of bitchness, you know what I mean? That's the same type of bitch-assness that TJ came with after he got rolled by Aljamain Sterling. So, and I don't know what y'all thought was going to be different if he had two arms. You talk about he had one arm. He had two arms, actually. But it's his fault for going into the biggest fight you can make in his division, being injured. You know what I mean? That's bad judgment. That's poor judgment. That's poor judgment by Juicehead DJ, is what that is. That's poor judgment. So you should slap yourself in the face for being stupid enough to do that. I don't know why you thought you would be able to do that. And so it is what it is. But what I think about the stoppage is this. I wasn't mad at the stoppage when I saw it. I wasn't mad, and I'm okay with the way it looks by itself, because he got hit with a shot. I feel like he was hurt when he went down. I don't think he would have gotten into a much better position with the way Sean was basically throwing hammer fists on him as he was trying to change position. I don't think it would have gone much better than that. You know what I mean? I feel like he might have just gotten caught with another big shot, and then maybe he would have been all the way out. You know what I mean? Because he wasn't all the way out. He got dropped, but he was right there. I feel like he was very aware. He was definitely not unconscious, but he got dropped, and I just don't think he would have gotten to a much better position than where he was at. And that always kind of makes me nervous with fighters, because you know I don't like how they do in boxing, where it's just, oh, if the guy can stand up before 10 seconds, then he's still in the fight. And I just disagree with that. I don't think that's true, and that's the reason why a lot of these boxers can't even form a complete sentence after they're done with their career. And you see a lot of UFC fighters doing plenty of things after their career. I mean, maybe it has something to do with the fact that when a guy goes down, you know when he's out. And when a guy is hurt, you consider him hurt, and you don't just say if he can get up before the count. You know what I mean? Like Tyson Fury did versus Wilder. If he could get up, then, oh, he can, you know, he's fine. It's like, okay, bro. But besides it, I was okay with the finish by it. But then, like you said, when you compare it to who was the other guy? Neil Magny. When you consider it to Ian Garry and Neil Magny, it looks very suspect. And then where it looks even more suspect is when you put it next to Zane Wiley and Amanda Lemos.
Lemos.
Did you not think that fight could have been stopped?
Yeah, I thought Lemos took a lot of punishment in that fight. And then Keith, when you listen, I don't know or not you will listen to the commentary, but the commentary, this is one of the reasons why when I'm watching fights, I never listen to the commentary. I normally have music on, but, you know, Saturday, you know, I was sitting outside on the back porch, so, you know, I was watching the fight. But the commentary, they make it seem okay. Lemos is fighting with a lot of heart. Look at her. She's going for another submission. La, 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 la. Then the Wally Zhang just landed 5 punches to her face, followed with an elbow, and it's like, come on, man. Then they were like, Neil Magny, oh, man, he's fighting on one leg, you know. He's giving it all he got. All it takes is one shot. I was like, bro, he ain't even getting – He ain't even trying to exchange with Ian Garry. He's staying as far away as possible from Ian Garry. Ian Garry basically has to chase him around the cage to make this a fight. But, you know, man, but once again, it ain't the referee's job. It's the corner's job. I thought my man Neil Magny's corner let him down. You know, the man could barely walk. Every time he got kicked in the leg, he was going down. I was just scared that he might, that Ian Garry might have kicked him and broke his leg or dislocated his kneecap or something, the way his leg was just giving out. But, you know, man, that's the corner's job. And really not the referee, but sometimes the referee has to stop in and put the fighter's safety first. But I'm going to go back to something you was talking about. Your boy Volkanovski has fought four times in a 14-month time period between April 2022 and July 2023. And he's basically, he fought Korean Zombie, TKO in the fourth round, Max Holloway went the whole five rounds, Islam went the whole five rounds, and Yair Rodriguez went three rounds. So he's been active, he's been more active than Aljamain Sterling. So I'm not mad about, you know, I just thought that maybe the referee would have gained him as, you know, a chance to maybe get back, you know, see what he could do. But he was kind of out of it. He even admitted to himself that he got caught. But, you know, man, speaking of Sean O'Malley, man, let's just jump to this. I brought this up to you, I want to say after the fight, that I was listening to Unlocking the Cage, Jimmy Smith show on Sirius XM. And he said if Sean O'Malley won the title, which he did, that he would be the biggest star in the UFC. He said an even bigger star than Israel Adesanya. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think Sean O'Malley is the biggest star in the UFC?
I mean, I don't know. It's I think. I mean, he could very well. I mean, he could very well be the biggest star now. But to be honest with you, I think Adesanya is the biggest star, man. I think Adesanya. I mean, we want to talk about being active. I mean, look at Adesanya, bro. Y'all gotta stop, man. I'm not gonna stop the Adesanya fan club, man. I think that might be the next venture. Like, and it's not gonna be like abandoning. Like, Aljo fan club is out, bro. I'm ready to war with everybody over all these topics. But you know, old school style, like we used to do on the timeline. I'm about to get myself banned by Elon. That's why Elon's trying to. No, I mean, he's trying to take me off the airwaves, bro. Three times in the past week, I've been locked out of our Twitter account. You're probably wondering, damn, he's not even live tweeting during UFC. I wasn't able to get in. I couldn't. Bro, every time I tried to do something on our account, it just locked me back out, and then it only gave me two options. It was either change account or sign out. It wasn't even letting me do anything. So I was like, okay, I don't really get that. And then I would sign out, and it would, like, remove the account from my Twitter app. So it's like I didn't even have it. I was like, okay, so basically I could sign in, and then I get blocked off of it, and then I can only sign out. So I can't really do it. So, look, my whole point is this. Elon, you know what I mean, it's soft. You know, Twitter went soft. You know what I mean? They changed to X now. You know, they X'd out all the realness is what the X stands for. They X'd out the realness. And now there's a bunch of softness on the Twitter timeline. So my point is to say that the Aljo fan club, the Adesanya fan club will probably be starting up soon here again because we are going into Adesanya versus Sean Strickland fight week is, not next week, but the week after, and I'm looking forward to that fight. But really, if you want to talk about activity, I mean, Aljamain, three title defenses, in a 10-month span, Volkanovski, you said, had, like, four or five defenses in 14 months or something like that. That's incredible. Those guys are really working. And then Adesanya, I mean, we just saw Adesanya in the year 2022. Don't act like this was a long time ago.
He fought three times in 2022 and one time in 2023. So he done fought four fights.
Four times.
And less than
months.
A year. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
yeah,
he fought.
Months, yep.
It was February. He fought Robert Whittaker February of 2022. He defended
yep.
against Robert Whittaker. He won that fight. Then in
July.
It was. 5 months later, he fought Jared Cannonier in July, so 5 months later. So he pretty much went back-to-back. And then he went back-to-back again. He fought – when was the next one?
Alex Pereira.
Was it at Madison Square Garden?
Alex Pereira in November.
Madison Square Garden? Okay, so 6 months later. So, yes, and then 5 months later, he immediately fought Pereira again and then knocked him out in the second round to win the belt back 5 months later. He is a savage. He is an absolute savage. And you know – So, no, Sean O'Malley, not that he cannot, he can, and maybe he becomes the biggest star. I don't think he's – I think Adesanya's the biggest because Adesanya, bro, who has – I mean, when you talk about, like, the face of the UFC, like, that's who people – those are the big fights, you know what I mean? Adesanya's putting on the biggest fights. Like, who's putting on the bigger fights, you know what I mean? Like, he's putting on the biggest fights, you know what I mean? Like, John Jones isn't around enough. Like, he's putting on, obviously, huge fights, but the activity isn't there. So who's really the face? Who's around the most and putting on the marquee fights on all these big events? You know what I mean? Adesanya, main event, International Fight Week. Adesanya, main event, Madison Square Garden. It's like, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? Adesanya coming up, main event, UFC Sydney. They haven't been to Sydney, you know, in, like, 5 years or something. Like, Adesanya's that dude. You know what I mean? And it's just... Oh,
yeah,
I'm
with you on this one. I don't even think, man, I can't even believe I'm going to say this.
We're going to miss him. Yo, we're going to miss him, but people that have been hating on him the whole time are really going to miss him because they're going to be like, wow, this guy gave us how many title fights? Bro, you know how many fights on? I just got hold that thought. I just got to look this up real quick. Just for the naysayers, I just got to remind y'all of how delusional you really are. Let me pull up Adesanya, bro. Shout out to Sure Dog. I always love Sure Dog, bro. 24-2, right? 16 KOs, 8 decisions. Look at Adesanya, bro. How many fights has he had? So he's had in the UFC, imagine this. He has had since 20 – no, wait. Okay.
2019.
His first fight in the UFC was February 10th, 2018. Imagine this. He has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 was Gastelum. That was the first title fight. So that's 6, 1, 7, 2, 3, 9, 4, 10, 5, 11, 6. 11-6. So he's had, I want to say, he's had 15 fights in the UFC, and
yep.
I want to say 10 of those were title fights. 10 of those were title fights. Imagine that. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's 15 fights deep in the UFC, going on 16 fights in 2 weeks. And imagine y'all hating on him. And he's done that in the past 5 years. He's done 16 fights in 5 years, basically. Yeah, he's done, what, like 5.5 years, 16 fights, bro? So what's that, like a 3 to 4 fights per year average for 6 years? This dude is fighting 3 to 4 times per year. He's given us one fight per quarter. He's basically been fighting back rare in the UFC, if you look at that. If it's 3-4 fights, that means you're going from one fight camp to the next. You know what I'm saying? So he's doing that since he debuted. He always is preparing for a fight. So how do you hate? You know what I mean? How do you have your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? 10 of those were title fights. 10 out of 15 fights. And actually, we're going on 11 out of 16 fights once he fights Sean Strickland in 2 weeks. This will be his 11th title fight. Since 2018 and 16th UFC fight. That's insane. And just to tack the sprinkles on, what did he have? Two losses? Two losses. So 15. So he's 13-2. Yeah, he's 13-2, and one of those was because he went up a weight class and fought Yamakovic. Yamakovic was probably 30 pounds heavier than Adesanya that night. I want to say he was about 30 pounds plus heavier than Adesanya was. So when he got taken down, that was it. He wasn't moving at all. Yamakovic takes you down, you're probably not moving. You know what I mean? The guy is a tank. So that my bad. Lee, what were you going to say? I had to just go off on a tangent right there for the naysayers,
well,
man. What were you about to say?
I was going to say Adesanya is, to me, a bigger star than Sean O'Malley. But the thing is to the casual fan, Sean O'Malley is the biggest star in the UFC. But Sean O'Malley still, and I love Izzy. You know, me and you been riding Izzy bandwagon for a long time. But I still think the biggest star in the UFC is a guy that hasn't fought in forever. It's Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, regardless, I don't know what it is, bro. He is the biggest star in the UFC. And he's been inactive. But every tweet he put out, everything he do, people clamor to it. Like right now, they got a story up on ESPN about Conor McGregor. Not going to be able to fight Michael Chandler in December. We already knew that. Anybody that follow a real person that follow MMA know that he's not going to be able to fight because he's not entered the USADA testing pool, and I doubt if they get him an exemption, but. I get it with the O'Malley thing. You know, he has a lot of social media followers, and he's hot right now. But you know, let's slow ride this a little bit. He only fought three top ten fighters since he's been in the UFC, and he's lost to one of those guys. And one of them was kind of it was. I ain't going to say it was a controversial win, but, you know, it could have went either way. Let's see what he can do when he starts defending the title. I know that he called out Chito Vera, that he wants his first title defense to be against Chito Vera and Vegas. We'll see what he does with Chito Vera. But he got a steep hill to climb because I don't know whether or not Aljo is going to stay at 135. But I know Aljo has been talking about moving up to 145. But Marab is there. And Corey Sandhagen is there. So that's three bona fide beasts right there waiting on him. So we'll see what happens, bro. You know, once again, good win by Sean O'Malley. You know, I'm still kind of mad that he went from 11-1. You know, he fought Peter Yan and he moved 10 spots in the rankings. Which fighter has ever done that in UFC history, moved up 10 spots and became the number one contender? That has never, as far as I know, that has never happened before. So, you know, it all depends on how the company feel about you. So, but, you know, we're talking about it. Key, so who do you think O'Malley should defend his belt against? I know who he called out, but if you was a matchmaker, who would you put in there opposite of Sean O'Malley in Las Vegas? I think he said he wanted to fight again before the end of the year. Let me look at the schedule. Go ahead. Who you think he should fight, bro?
Keep it real, bro. I think if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, you put him in there with Marlon Vera because that's the only asterisk on his resume. You know, Peter Yan hasn't been winning. Peter Yan pretty much lost like 10 out of his last 10 fights, you know, 10 out of his last 5 fights or something. So, Peter Yan, you know. But if you want to go business-wise, you go Cheeto. And I feel like they will – I feel like that's the one they'll try to make. If you want to go off principle and my real pick, I think that the rematch should be next. I think it should be Sean O'Malley versus Aljamain Sterling too. I think that should be the fight, personally. I think that is way beyond any of these guys as contenders, and no one can really put a stake bigger than that. I mean, the guy won – 4 world championships and was so he won the initial title and then defended his belt 3 times and then was on his 4th title defense and he lost. You don't give him an immediate rematch. But hey, look, the only reason why that I think that won't be the next one is because the only reason that I think it couldn't be the next one is because Aljamain, you know, you just got TKO'd. I mean, you probably don't want to rush back in. Probably want to take some time. You know what I mean? Maybe take like 6 months and then get back in, something like that. I feel like 6 months probably, you know what I mean, get everything figured out mentally, physically, recover the body, you know what I mean? Plus, it's not just recovering the body from one fight. It's recovering from 3 title fights that he just did in 10 months. It's recovering from 3 training camps that he just did in 10 months. So it's training. It's recovering from all that weight cutting that he just did in 10 months, you know, between those fights. So that's the stuff nobody thinks about with these very active guys. And yeah, I don't think that it would make the timing. He wouldn't make the timing because Sean O'Malley wants to fight before the end of the year, and I don't like Aljamain getting right back in to do that. So I would like to see him do it in probably Q1 or Q2 of, I'd probably say Q1, maybe get in there top of the year in 2024, maybe like the second pay-per-view, get in there and do the rematch. So, yeah, I think they'll probably go with Cheeto. If you go with who I think should get it, I mean, I think you got to go with either Sanhagen or Merab. I think either Sanhagen or Merab, I mean, which of those two should get it based off their last performance? Merab, definitely. I mean, Merab put on probably one of the most dominant UFC performances we've ever seen against Peter Yan. So I don't think there's ever been a performance that, I mean, bro had shot 49 times, you know, landed like over 300 strikes or something crazy like that. Like he was destroying Peter Yan. So I think that's a title worthy win. I think you go with Merab off the work. You know, who has the body of work. Sanhagen put on a snooze against Rob Font, I heard. So, you know, you can't reward that. Sanhagen's tribute right there. So I think you go Merab to get the fight, and Sanhagen would be the backup. But I think what they'll probably do is go Cheeto for the fight, and then either Sanhagen or Merab will be the backup. And I think Aljamain's fight. Sanhagen is out.
Yeah, he has surgery on his bicep or his tricep. He told either the bicep or the tricep during the Rob Font fight. So he's out. Merab, you know, he was out, but I think he's back now. Although he was in Aljo's corner Saturday. So, you know, okay, I'm with you on it though. I think the business way to go is Cheeto Vera. But, you know, I think Merab is more deserving. But I don't think they're going to give it to Merab. Plus, I'm looking at the schedule, and I don't think Sean O'Malley wants to fight Cheeto Vera at the Apex. I think he probably want to wait until it's in the bigger octagon. Because I don't see him wanting to go to battle with Cheeto Vera in limited space. I think that plays better in Cheeto Vera's hand because he's a better wrestler. And, you know, I think his hands can match Sean. So I think they probably won't do that fight to Q1 because basically the rest of the – the UFC events in Vegas are going to be at the Apex. And all the other fights are basically you got Madison Square Garden, you got Brazil, and you got UAE. So, yeah, that's what we at with it, man. But on with you, man. Chito Vera kind of makes sense, especially being that, you know, he already beat the guy. But did he really beat him, Keys? I want to say that's the fight that Sean O'Malley twisted his ankle or something fluky happened to his leg or something.
Yeah,
but,
You know, he got injured. That was a doctor stoppage. So
yeah, something happened. Go ahead.
I thought O'Malley was getting outboxed in that fight, and then his leg got hurt. I'm not saying that one is because of the other. I'm just saying that, I mean, I only watched it live the one time, but I vaguely remembered Chito boxing him up. I remember him getting touched in that fight, and then they had the freak injury, and you know, I don't like doctor stoppages, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Chito, I think it's a pretty sad, you know, resume to get into the title fight. You really only have that first fight to reference as to why you would make that fight, because honestly, besides that, I mean, he's 1-1 in his last two. The one win, wait a second. Did he lose to Munoz? Didn't he just lose?
Nah, he won that fight.
Oh, he won.
But
okay.
But if you look at the stats, that fight was a lot closer than it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was very close. I really didn't know who was up in that fight. I really didn't know. I didn't know who they were going to give it to. I really thought it was pretty back and forth. I want to say that was like a 1-1 going into the third type of fight for me.
I know where you're going at this.
He got dominated by Sanhagen. Chito got absolutely dominated by Sanhagen. And then he just beat Pedro Munhoz, who... Pedro Munhoz, I think, has, like, one win in the past, like, 3 years or something, or, like, 4 years. Last time Pedro won, I mean, he's still a tough guy, but that's really not a title-worthy win, man. Last time Pedro won was versus Wash Cody Garbrandt. That was the last time he won.
Yeah, he got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... He got 5 losses in his last 8, so he's 2-5-0-1. Well, 2-5-1-0, because he got no contest against Sean O'Malley. I want to say that was an eye poke or something fluky happened in that fight. But yeah, he got like 5 L's in his last 8 fights, bro. But when I look at Marlon Vera, I mean, he got some good wins up here. Dominique Cruz, Rob Font. I can't count Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar, just a name. All right, Sean O'Malley, Rob Font, Dominique Cruz, lost to Corsair Hagan. Beat Pedro Munhoz, beat Davy Grant. That ain't really nothing that I would like. But when you look at when he fought big names, he lost to him. Lost to John Lineker. He lost to Song Yeon-dong. He lost to Jose Aldo. He lost to Corey Sanhagen. So it's like when the competition get ratcheted up.
Stop.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, man, but let me ask you this, though, Keys. I know you're the new president of the Aldo Fan Club. What should be next for Aljamain Sterling, man? What should he do next?
I mean, I was just saying what I thought he should do next. I think he should fight Sean O'Malley again next year.
I don't think he should move up. Okay. That was a question I wanted to ask. Do you think he should move up? Okay.
Nah, you move up if you're the champ. You know what I mean? You don't move up when you got to run that back. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, you run it back, win the belt, and then vacate the belt, and then move up. I would be more okay with that, but we're not going to leave off on that. Like, there's no way we're getting that one back because this is the thing. This is what happened, right? Realistically, and see, Sean O'Malley, I'm a fan of him, so, like, I think people get confused. I just don't like his fan base. That's the problem, because you got all these, like, hyper-casuals, you know, that, like, have watched two fights in the past year that try to tell me some shit about the game. You know, I had some dude tell me something the other day. He goes, fans like you give MMA fans a bad name. I'm like, what? I'm like, fans like me? I go, what? I'm like, yo, you mean people that know the game? People that know the game give the game a bad name? And not you. You don't get, bro, I'm like, you don't even know, when's the last fight you even watched? What was the last fight you watched before this past weekend? I really would like to know that. You know what I mean? Can you even name five guys? Like, can you name, like, five other names in the UFC before you speak to me? You know what I'm saying? Come on, bro. Stop playing with me. You know what I mean? That shit sounds ridiculous. Y'all know better than that to tell me that. You know what I'm saying? I give them a bad name. Bro, we out here like a couple analysts, bro. We out here making predictions on the fight. We out here like a couple analysts. Bro, I've been cooking. I've been cooking out here. 24-2 in the last 26 bets. Don't ever talk to me. Don't ever talk to me. You know what I mean? I can't stand it, bro. I'm a fan of Sean O'Malley. I'm even happy he won, and I'm not even mad at the stoppage. If you compare it to the Zhang Wilde fight, it looks very suspect, but that's neither here nor there. My point is that the fan base, that just, they don't even, like, they don't know shit about the game, and they just try to talk shit, and it's like, bro, Aljamain, that was his third title defense in 10 months. You know what I'm saying? Sean O'Malley has never even fought real guys. He doesn't even fight real guys. If you combine Sean O'Malley's resume with Habib Nurmagomedov's resume, you literally have, like, probably one of the weakest resumes that has ever even existed. Like, if you put O'Malley's resume, put all the bums that he has fought versus all the bums that Habib fought, you might have between the two of them, like, 10 tough guys. Between the two of them, combined, you got two tough guys. No, 10 tough guys they probably fought if you combine those resumes together. I bet you don't have 10 legit guys that they beat combined. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the type of shit. You get the come up on padded records, you know what I mean? You get these extremely padded, like Sean O'Malley, I'm looking forward to him fighting some real guys. I've been saying that about him for years, that I can't wait. It's not because I want to see him lose, I just want to see him tested. He has not even been tested. He's finally being tested. We're just getting there in these last two fights. And Peter Yan, just to point out, I mean, on my scorecard, I have Peter Yan winning the first and second round. And I had Sean O'Malley winning the third round. I had Peter Yan winning the fight. I had Peter Yan winning that 29-28. So I have no idea how Sean O'Malley won the Peter Yan fight in the first place. But it's all good. You know what I mean? These judges, we know these judges don't even watch the fight. So that's not surprising. But the and then he fought Aljamain Sterling. And I just want y'all to understand that y'all got the most opportunistic style from Aljamain Sterling. You got the mindset, like he was in like chase mode in that fight. You know what I mean? And Sean O'Malley's sitting back, like, you know, he's basically just waiting for the counter. You know what I mean? He's like counter strike sniper, just sitting back, like drooling, waiting for guys to fight like that. You know what I mean? It's like you charge in on a guy that's just waiting for the shot. You know? And Aljamain, I feel my boy Aljamain, man. I think he got too emotional with that fight. You know what I mean? I think he fought emotional. I think what we saw there was pretty much
he lost his patience. What we saw, he lost his patience.
He lost his patience.
All he had to do was remain patient.
He lost his patience, and we basically saw what we saw when Robert Whittaker fought Israel Adesanya the first time. We saw a very emotional Aljamain Sterling that was trying to chase the finish, and when does he fight like that? You know what I mean? The only other time I can reference that Aljamain came out like that was against Peter Yan the first time, and I thought he was losing that fight, and I feel like he was losing that fight because of that reason, and that was a bad way to come out against Peter Yan the first time. And that's why in the second fight, I feel like he corrected it, and he fought for 25 minutes because he paced himself. You know what I mean? Pick your shots. Pick your takedowns. Don't rush him. You know what I mean? This dude has heavy hands, too. This guy's waiting to be the counter-striker here. Don't do it. You know what I mean? Don't rush in with these guys. And I think Aljamain, he fought way too emotional. You know what I mean? He got too emotional. I mean, he got impatient, like you said. He got impatient. And he tried to, you know what I mean? He tried to like, pressure fight against a guy that could just put his lights out. You know what I mean? And it wasn't good. So you guys, you really got, like, the most, the biggest opportunity versus that Aljamain Sterling, because the guy that fought all these other times, you weren't beating that one. You know what I mean? You weren't beating that version. The guy that just ran through the entire bantamweight division these past 5 years, y'all weren't beating that version. I mean, you got the emotional version, the impatient version that wanted to chase down the finish in the first, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the contest. So be grateful. I mean, be grateful that you got that. I mean, because that was a blessing. I'm happy for the moment. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It's, hey, we need the rematch.
Yeah,
we need the rematch.
I'm with you.
There ain't no 145 because y'all want to just sweep it under the rug and try to say, oh, he's going to go to 145 because you don't want him in division, and also you don't want to do the rematch. Because y'all know that was a blessing. You know it was a blessing. You know what I mean? You know it. Like, you're talking about a guy that stood there and was striking with Peter Yan for 25 minutes and didn't get KO'd. I don't even think he got hurt in that fight. I don't even think he got wobbled in that fight. 25 minutes he fought with Peter Yan. He fought all these killers, bro. All these guys. Smashed all these guys. You know what I mean? Now they want him to fight Cheeto in the rematch. You know what I mean? Cheeto, 1-1 in his last two, just got smoked by Corey Sandhagen and then fought Wash Pedro Munhoz, who hasn't won since the Nixon administration. You know what I'm saying? And now you want him to fight Cheeto. Basically, Cheeto, the guy that got bodied, he got absolutely rolled by Corey Sandhagen, and then Cheeto got rolled by the guy that got rolled by Aljamain Sterling. You know what I'm saying? Aljamain smoked Corey Sandhagen, smoked him, and Corey Sandhagen smoked Cheeto Vera, and now y'all want him to fight O'Malley. I know you feel like that's an easy matchup. That's great, because it is. It is an easier matchup, so that's fine. It's definitely an easier matchup than fighting any of the other three guys. You do the rematch with Aljo, you fight Murab, you fight Sandhagen. Cheeto is the easiest of those four names by miles. Is it true or false?
I would say true.
Because we now have Corey Nurmagomedov. We have Corey the Sandman. Nurmagomedov is who we have now. Okay, so that's the thing. He has introduced the wrestling. He's clinching. He's putting in steady work. Even if he puts on a snooze, he added a big weapon to his game that's going to mess with a lot of these guys. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to just stand there and strike with you now for 25 minutes like Peter Yan fight. Imagine if he would have had that grappling advantage versus Peter Yan. He might even be the champion right now if he had that. You know what I mean? He wasn't able to beat Aljamain, so maybe not. But I think he could have beat Peter Yan if he had that grappling back then. I think he could have beat TJ. I think he could have beat TJ if he had what he has now. You know what I'm saying? One-arm TJ. Y'all like to talk about one-arm TJ, juice head. Y'all like to go on about. Fine, man. I want the rematch in 2024. That's what I want. And let him fight Cheeto 1-1 in his last two fights. Just got dominated his last one. Let him fight that fight. I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm sure it'll be a great fight. I'm just trying to keep, you know, call a spade a spade with y'all. That's why they don't like it. They don't like people who really like to put the facts out. And I'm just telling y'all how it is. You know what I mean? Y'all like to just get through the fireworks and not get told what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, well, we saw Wally Zane dominate Lemos, which really wasn't a competitive fight. Although Lemos
just
did
how
have
good
her.
Is Wiley Zhang? That's the question, Lee. Just how good is Zhang Wiley? How good?
She's really good now that she's added that wrestler to her game. Because when she first lost to Thug Rose, she couldn't wrestle at all. But now she's looking to take people down. mixed with her striking and her speed, man, she looked really, really good. She made Amanda Lemos look like she should, like they're not even in the same class, bro. I really don't know. I do know what they got to do with Wally Jane. She has to fight the other girl, Yan Xianang. I think that's the fight. I think both of them are pretty, pretty good. I don't want to see her fight Carla Esparza. I don't want to see her fight Rose Namajunas. We know Rose is moving up. She's fighting somebody at 125, I think. So we ain't got to worry about that. But, yeah, man, Wally looked really, really good, bro. And the crazy part was when she beat Rose the second time, Cejudo was training her. He wasn't even in her corner for this fight, and she still was wrestling. And she looked good wrestling against a girl that's known for her, you know, wrestling. So Wally looked really, really good, bro.
And that's the thing, right, is that, well, if you look at that strike differential, they said that was the biggest, you know what they said? They said that was the biggest strike differential in women's UFC history. That's how good Zhang Wiley is. And Lemos, I think she was just outmatched, you know what I mean? I think those, and shout out to Amanda Lemos, actually, because I could still see that she was throwing with power. Her speed was still there. Like, the power and speed were both still there, even going into the later rounds, like round 3 and 4. You could still see the power and speed was there, but she just couldn't throw the volume. She couldn't sustain volume, you know what I mean? She kind of was, like, couldn't really keep her hands up, you know what I mean? So she could, like, throw the power and maybe try to catch Zhang Wiley, but it's just – it wasn't enough because Wiley looked like she could have fought 5 more rounds. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure Amanda Lemos' corner was trying to tell her that Zhang Wiley was getting tired. I don't think she was tired, bro. I don't know why your corner told you that. I'm kind of confused about what they were trying to put in your mind because I think you were tired. I think she was tired. They were trying to tell you, right?
I think Wally Jane was tired of beating her up. She was. That's what I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
But she was tired. I think she was tired of beating her. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, because, you know, when you was looking at that fight, it was like. It was. I mean, when Amanda did get off, though, she got, you know, Wally's attention. When she would hit her, it was just that it was far and in between. It was like, yo, what, you know, let your hands go. But she was scared to let her hands go because she was scared of getting taken down. It reminded me of, you remember when we, when Jermaine Durand and me fought Amanda Nunes, and Jermaine Durand and me couldn't get back up to her feet. And Nunez, every time Jermaine would throw a kick or a punch or something wild and wild, she would just take her down. That's what Amanda looked like to me in that fight. It was like she was scared to throw punches because she was scared to get taken down. And my thing is, why are you scared to get taken down when the best part of your game is on the mat? But I want to say the best part of her game is on the mat because it's set up through her striking, and she was unable to strike with Wiley, man. And ain't too many people going to be able to strike with Wiley. The thing with Wiley now is you're going to have to be willing to take punches to get in close to her and make her fight off her back. We haven't seen her fight off her back. We have seen her be dominant in the top position, but we haven't seen her fight off her back. The last time she was fighting off her back, she lost to Rose Namajunas. So, hey, we'll see how it goes, man. But it was a dominant performance by her. But, Keith, I got to ask you about this before we jump into Mac Holloway and Kareem's lobby. I was looking at these scores, man. Your boy Ian Gary versus Neil Magny. And this had to be probably some of the most lopsided scorecards I have ever seen. 30-26. And this is the kicker. 30-24. So that means they gave Ian Garrett, that referee, or that judge gave him 3 10-8 rounds. Is that insane or what?
Well, the thing, man. Yo, that's funny, man. You know what's crazy is I've never heard of 3 10-8s in any one fight. Like, even 5-round fights, like, we've never seen 3 10-8s ever. So that's like, that might be UFC history right there, Ian Gary just made, because I've never heard of somebody getting 3 10-8s. It even combines, like, you've never even seen 10-8s, like, one over there and the other guy at 2 10-8 rounds. Like, that doesn't even happen. Never mind one guy. I mean, they have a 3-round fight, and every round is a 10-8. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, Neil Magny was in there, but, like, he wasn't. Like,
yeah, he wasn't in there at all.
Yeah, he was in there, but he really wasn't. Like, so, I don't know, man. I mean, do you think there was 10-9 rounds in the fight? Or like,
I thought round one could have been a 10-9 round. But to say that he got 3 10-8 rounds, bro, come on. Now.
Yeah. I mean, because in the beginning of the fight, like, you could see there was a lot more life. But then once he started getting – I mean, immediately the first strike, I want to say the first strike between the two of them that even landed was a leg kick from Ian Gary.
And he fell.
Yeah, and he fell. So that was the thing that got me, because I was like, all right, so – Ian Gary, like, that's really smart. He's actually throwing leg kicks. Like, a lot of these guys, like, don't like to, like, throw leg kicks. And Neil Magny's not checking the leg kicks. You know, he's getting smoked by the leg kicks. And and he got dropped from the first leg kick. Like you said, like, he fell. When he fell from the first leg kick, I knew the fight was over. I was like, yo, this fight's over, bro. I was like, it's already – Neil Magny is not – like, you could see – there was a huge age gap in that fight. I feel like there was a huge power gap in that fight, even though we didn't really get to see Ian Gary land, like, a lot of – you didn't really get to see them, like, box. Like, it was a lot of, like, Ian Gary kind of trying to chase Neil down and, like, throwing a lot of leg kicks. And, I mean, he landed some shots, but, like, you didn't really get to see too much of it, I feel like. And really, like, a big power difference, a big age difference. But I really think the short notice for Neil Magny really wasn't – I mean, especially at his age. You know, I think, I want to say Neil Magny is, like, 38 years of age, bro. He's up there. So
yeah, he up there.
To be, you know, that late into your career, because to me that's late. I mean, you could have a great performance at that age. Not to say you can't. It's just that, you know, you're coming in short – like, short notice is tough for anybody, but – being 38 years of age, and he hasn't looked spectacular. I mean, he got choked out by Gilbert Burns, which, I mean, getting choked by Gilbert Burns isn't really, like, that crazy. I mean, Gilbert Burns is excellent on the ground, but, I mean, he got choked by Gilbert Burns, and then I'm pretty sure he fought, what's the kid's name? He fought that dude after that. I can't remember his name right now. Phil Rowe. He fought Phil Rowe after that. He was like, okay. You know what I mean? He fought Phil Rowe. Phil Rowe's okay. Like, I'm not really too impressed by him. He's, like, a decent fighter, but I don't really think he's that great. He beat Phil Rowe, I'm pretty sure. They went to decision. And then he fought so then I think that was a couple weeks ago. He fought Phil Rowe a couple weeks ago, and then now he took the Ian Gary fight. And, you know, from a distance, you would look at that and be like, damn, like, and I thought this. I was like, oh, Neil can just, like, use the clinch and tie Gary up. I don't even think he ever – did he even ever have Gary in the clinch?
Nah, he tried in the first round. He tried in the first round, but it didn't work. Gary, you know, Garrett pushed him off, and that was the beginning of the end. But I think Neil Magny is just one of them guys, man. If one thing about this fight should have taught him, bro, you got to learn how to fight off both feet. Because when he started getting that leg chewed up, he couldn't go to the – he couldn't switch stances because he wasn't comfortable in the other stance. So that kept leaving that leg out there to get chewed up. It was just like, bro, switch stance or, you know, go wide. But he couldn't do anything, man. And then Ian Garrett called out Wonder Boy, man. I'm like, I don't think I want to see that. You know, I don't think I want to see that fight. So, because now Ian Gary has moved up to number 11. You know, you got, I don't want to see him. I think he'll beat Vicente Luque. He posted for Jeff Neal. I think he would have knocked Jeff Neal out. I like Rachmaninoff. I like Khamzat. I like Gilbert Burns, Bilal Muhammad. Why are we calling out Stephen Thompson? I mean, I don't get that, but we shall see. That's who he called out. But, hey, man, Blessed Express is happening Saturday, going against Korean Zombie. I think me and you both got this going. I think this is going to be a beatdown. I think Max is going to put a beat down on Korean Zombie. I just don't see how Korean Zombie going to get this done, especially if he can't take Max down. But this fight is kind of loaded, man. We get Max versus Zombie, Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann. No, I thought he was fighting somebody else.
Yeah, they're doing a rematch. I don't know who they were supposed to fight, but that's a rematch. They fought like a year or two ago, I think.
Yeah, Anthony Smith dominated him, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, but the thing is now is that Ryan Spann, the thing with Ryan Spann that kills me is that after one of the last times he fought, he knocked some guy out in the first round. I forget who it was. And then Ryan Spann proceeded to tell us that he hasn't been training the whole time. Like, he hasn't been training. He's just been, like, showing up and fighting. I'm like, what? So he got on the mic after that fight, and they asked him, like, oh, like, do you feel good? Like, what did you do different, if anything? And he's like, I actually trained. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that was when he knocked out Krylov. He submitted him in the first round. Yeah, because he got submitted by Anthony Smith in the first round. But I could have sworn, man, that wasn't supposed to have been the fight, though. Hold on, let me see. My heavyweight. Alex Pereira, Jan, Nikita, Johnny Walker, no. I can't remember who he was supposed to fight, man. I didn't think it was Ryan Spann, but maybe it was. But I didn't think it was him. I thought it was somebody else. But, you know, also our girl is fighting on this card. What's her name, man?
Which one?
Erin Blanchfield.
Oh, yeah, Erin Blanchfield. That's actually a good fight, bro. Erin Blanchfield's fighting Talia Santos.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good fight,
bro.
That might be the best fight you can make in that division right now. Those two. That's actually really crazy, because I've been analyzing that fight. You know, I've been locked in. I've been researching all week with these plays. You guys think I'm? You know, I mean, I'm not. I'm out. This is calculated war. You know what I mean? It's not. You know what I mean? We're not just going in on random, but yeah. Besides, like that fight. Because if it goes one way, you could get Erin Blanchfield, you know, to dominate on the mat and the jiu-jitsu exchanges. Or if Talia Santos keeps it on the feet, Erin Blanchfield has good striking, but I don't know that she has better striking than Talia Santos. So, basically, I think that's one that they both do something very, very well. And it's just debating on who can get it to where they need to get it to. Because I think if Blanchfield has to stand in front of Taya Santos, you know, I mean, it could get rough from there. And at the same time, I think if Blanchfield can get Taya Santos to the mat, I think it could be an early night at the office. So it could get dark for both of them, depending on, you know, who can make it their fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love Taya Santos, man, but Erin Blanchfield, man, she has bust on the scene, and I really like her. I'm gonna definitely be tuned in for that fight, bro. I'm gonna definitely be tuned in that Giga Tukaze is fighting Alex Caceres.
Yes, it's in the morning. It's in the morning.
Yeah, it's early.
What are they fighting at? So they're fighting in Singapore.
Oh, that's right. So they like a day, so, like they like 20 some hours ahead of us.
Yeah, so they're in Singapore. So for us over here, the prelims start at, I think, 5 a.m. And then the main card starts, I want to say, 8 a.m. So, and you're an hour time difference than me, right?
No, I'm in North Carolina. Same time.
Oh, you're in the same. Okay, so yeah. So I thought you were hour ahead or behind. So it's the same time. So yeah, 5 a.m. and then 8 a.m. main card. So you'll probably see Holloway in there, you know what I mean? I'll be at work that day, but honestly, I'm going to fucking go on my break and stream, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to get a couple of those fights in, bro. I'm going to be, you know what I mean? I like to go to work now and, like, coordinate my breaks to when, you know, certain fights are on. So I try to time it perfectly and be like, all right, I'll go right now, like, even about the wait. I mean, the wait a little bit, like, I'll go at that time. So, like, you know what I mean? So-and-so should be getting on around this time, you know what I mean? So I'll probably try to get in front of the screen, you know, for a couple of those, you know what I'm saying? I want to see Giga and Alex Caceres fight. I want to see Holloway and Blanchfield fight, you know, so it'll be early, but I think I'll be watching it with a coffee instead of watching it, you know, with a beer or a tequila.
Yeah, man, I feel you. But, man, we done covered a lot tonight, so any last words for the people?
I just want to say this is the last word for the UFC. I don't really know why y'all made this talk. I appreciate it. Because I love Max Holloway's fight weeks, man. It makes my whole week, bro, to be able to know I can watch Max Holloway bang it out on Saturday, bro. That always makes my week. So let's go, bro. I don't know why y'all made the fight versus Korean Zombie. I know they both asked for it, so that's one reason. But I have a feeling that Korean Zombie is going to retire Saturday night. That's my personal belief. I think he wanted to get the biggest fight. You know, he already fought Volkanovski. I think, you know, the next biggest fight that was available, and Max is, like, a great guy. So I think he's going to retire on this one, man. I think Holloway's going to put the beats on him pretty bad, and he's going to retire out there. That's what I'm – I could be wrong, but I have a feeling I'm right. And, you know, shout out to Kareem Zombie, man. But he's just taking a lot of damage as of recent. He's taking a lot of tough losses. He's been KO'd, taking some tough KO losses, and – I don't like to see that when guys start to go on that spiral, kind of like the one Tony Ferguson is on. You know what I mean? It's good that, you know, some certain guys know when to hang it up. You know what I mean? And I have a feeling that the Korean Zombie does know when to hang it up. So I'm predicting he retires on Saturday night. And the Blessed Express keeps on rolling, baby. Let's go. Shout out Max Holloway, man. We got to get Max on the show soon, man. That's what we need to do. We need to reach out to Holloway. But, man, that's all. I don't want to take it too long, bro. I don't want to take it too long. The people in Hawaii, too, I just want to say that, yo, that hurt my feelings seeing that, man. It's really, and it's been upsetting to see that the U.S. has not responded to that, you know, with the type of care that I would like to see, you know what I mean? It would be nice to see, and this is just – No, I mean, I will get political on y'all, is that I would rather see the U.S. and I'd rather see our president going to help out Hawaii, being one of the 50 states, actually help out our people. That's a U.S. state. Instead, they want to go over to Ukraine and go help out Ukraine and give all the, you know, multi-billions to Ukraine, give them all the everything, you know what I mean, all the resources. But then they you know, it takes some almost 2 weeks to go visit Hawaii. You know what I mean? These people have been out in the water floating because they can't, you know what I mean? The house is gone. Everything's destroyed. People can't breathe. People are burning alive. You know what I mean? You got all sorts of, you know, terrible things happening out there. And it's like the U.S. has left those people. I think that's so messed up. And I'm sorry. I feel terrible about it. You know what I mean? So I don't want to say the cliche, like I'm praying for Hawaii. I don't like saying that. But, you know, I'm definitely – I hope the best for Hawaii, bro. That hurts my feelings, you know, seeing that because it's just – it's messed up. You know what I mean? I don't know how that all went wrong like that, but it's tragic, bro. I hate to see it. So, no, I hope the best for the people out there, man. Much love. And that's what I'll leave on.
Yeah, I got Holloway winning also. I think it'll probably go the distance. You know, Zombie is a tough guy. I don't know, because he got knocked out by Volkanovski. And I think Max Striking is right up there with Volkanovski. But I'm going to say being there in Thailand, he probably gives a adrenaline rush being over there. But I think Holloway wins by a unanimous decision. Makes it look easy. I didn't bring this up because I know Keys, I ain't want Keys to go totally insane. But Sean O'Malley talking about he want to fight Javante Tank Davis in a boxing match. Yeah. And on that note, everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the fights. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Until next time, Lee and Keys, we out. We always end the show with a peace.